I'll start by telling you this is a secondhand sermon. How about that? I preached it yesterday because I was at a wedding yesterday. And there are two people here. You can close your eyes. No, not eyes. You listen with ears. You can close your ears because you heard it. Except, oh, three people. Any more? Do I hear four? Except, yesterday I got instructions from the chief, no longer than a 10-minute sermon. So I think I took about 10 minutes yesterday, but I'll take 20 today. I'll double it. Is that okay? Yeah? I might even triple it if you're good. I thought this morning when I was thinking about speaking, I thought about that entitling this as Taking God Seriously. Taking God Seriously. I don't think that means that we have to have long faces. I think the faces of believers should be anything but long. But it's because we take God seriously, isn't it? We take Him at His word. God said this. But you know, I have to learn, and I'm sure that you do too, to really take God seriously, more seriously. Take God at His word. Now, yesterday I had one Old Testament scripture, one verse from the Old Testament, and one from the New. And I know that you all know what Old Testament means and what New Testament means. I don't think everybody knew. In fact, I'm sure they didn't know what it meant when I said it yesterday. But I'm going to expand that to three Old Testament, not verses, but portions. First of all, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7. And I'll have to confess that I am using a totally different Bible, and you may have to work to follow me. I'm using this easy-to-read version. But you will catch a word or two in your Bibles as you follow. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7 to 9. And Moses speaking, "The Lord our God is near when we ask Him to help us. No other nation has a God like that. And no other nation is great enough to have laws and rules as good as the teachings I give you today. But you must be careful. Be sure," I'm at verse 9 now, "be sure that as long as you live, you never forget what you have seen." And here's the punchline. "You must teach these things to your children and grandchildren." You must teach these things to your children and grandchildren. Now, every once in a while, I read about a mother who has taught her children when they're knee-high to a grasshopper. I don't move your hands, don't move your heads. But when I ask this question, I wonder how many of us were taught by our parents these things, the Word of God. We're brought up in them. Not the preacher, not the Sunday school teacher, but our parents. And I'm going to read another passage of Scripture that expands on that. Throughout the other two passages in the Old Testament. Turn the page to chapter 5. Verse 7. You must not worship any other gods except me. You must not make any idols. Don't make any statues or pictures of anything up in the sky, or of anything on the earth, or of anything down in the water. Don't worship or serve idols of any kind, because I am the Lord your God. I hate for my people to worship other gods. People who sin against me become my enemies, and I will punish them and their children, their grandchildren, and even their great-grandchildren. Now, taking God seriously. What do we do with that if we're taking God seriously? I hate for my people to worship any other gods. I hate. And the third portion of scripture in the is it still in Deuteronomy? Turn the page to chapter 6, verse 4. Listen, people of Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is the only God. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Always remember these commands that I give you today. Be sure to teach them to your children. You know, I have heard numerous times that I don't teach my children. People have said that to me. Personally, I don't teach my children. I wait until they're old enough to know, to make their own minds up. Have you heard people say that? Here we have the third enjoiner. Teach them to your children. That's verse 7. Talk about these commands when you sit in your house or on the porch, or veranda, we used to call it. And when you walk on the road. So what does that mean? Well, let's read. Talk about them when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them on your hands and wear them on your foreheads, to help you remember my teachings. Write them on your doorposts of your houses and on your gates. Well, how do we do that? Moses is telling the people to make God and to make what he says, his word, very important. Wouldn't you get that idea? If we take God seriously. I remember my wife and I visited somebody, a couple. They were elderly, not as elderly as I are today, but for us, they were elderly. We were young. At Hondo. Is there a place called Hondo? Hondo? Well, I don't know if it's Hondo or Hondo. It's not Hondon't. Hondo, okay. Just a little crossroads up on the lake, the fishing lake, Lesser Slave. And we stopped there. I don't know. I don't remember the details. That is sometime after the flood, but I don't remember the details. But anyhow, what greets us as we walk up the, got out of the car and walked down their little walkway to their house, here were Bible verses. Do you remember that, Mary? Here were Bible verses, signs they'd painted and stuck on the fence posts going to their house. And they were a Belgian, I think they were a Belgian couple, and they loved the Lord. And they were, we spoke French to with them, and they delighted in that visit that we made. I don't think we visited them very often. I don't think we went by Hondu. That was the way out from the Peace River country, and it wasn't a great highway at that time. You didn't go 100 kilometers an hour. In fact, kilometers didn't even exist then. Teach your kids. Now, how do you do it? How? You don't do it by saying, okay, this book says I got to do it. I got to read the Bible. I got to talk to my kids, my wife, my husband. I've got to, when we go fishing, we talk about the things of God, or when we go, whatever we do for distractions, we talk about the Lord. How? I mean, that doesn't come naturally. Does it? Doesn't come naturally. When we go hunting, some of you don't know what that is. I mean, it's got a bad eye. That fellow in from America. Good job, he's across the line. He went to Africa. I think that's where lions grow. He went to Africa and he took a bow and he shot a lion with the bow and arrow. Now you know how close you have to be to a lion to hit him with a bow. A little close, too close for comfort. But you know who I'm talking about. At least you know the story. Because it's been published all over the States. Now people want to wring his neck. They want to shoot him with many arrows. Torture him. You know, you don't hit him in the heart. You shoot him all over everywhere. He deserves to suffer for what he did to Pete. Or whatever that pet lion from, no, it wasn't a pet lion, but whatever, he had a name. I'll say no more. I mean, that's the picture we're given. It's a horrible thing. You know, whatever we're doing, it should be natural. Now, how do we get that nature? All right, you don't have it. You don't have it. I don't have it. Not by nature, to talk about things of God. We talk about everything. We talk about the weather. That's easy to talk about the weather. We talk about crops, if you're a farmer. We talk, you know, and the women, when you get together, I don't know what you talk about. But you do talk. Right? All right, the last passage is in John's Gospel, John chapter 5, verse 33. John 5, 33. Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking to the religious leaders of the day, church leaders. You sent men to John, that's the one they call John the Baptist. You sent men to John, and he told you what is true. I don't need anyone to tell people about me, but I remind you of what John said, so that you can be saved. Now, that's, I think most of you have heard at least once or twice to people talking about being saved. So you know what that's all about. I won't go into description. But Jesus is saying, this is pretty new, that, well, what is he saying? I read it. I remind you of what John said, so that you can be saved. Now, if I were to take God seriously, and I wasn't saved, you would think that if I had an ounce of gray matter, do people still talk about gray matter? You know, that stuff that's supposed to be up here? If I had an ounce of gray matter, wouldn't I take these words seriously? He's saying something I don't understand. My language, but I don't understand. So that you can be saved, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is talking to people of the day, 2,000 years ago, ordinary people, well, maybe a little bit above ordinary, because they were the leaders. But he's saying it to everybody. That John was talking about these things so that you can be saved. And if being saved isn't a part of your life or part of your vocabulary, you need, listen to what Jesus said, you need, he's certainly saying that, to listen to what John said, and listen to what I say, and listen to what I've been doing, observe what I've been doing, so that you can be saved. Verse 15, John was like a lamp that burned and gave light, and you were happy to enjoy his light for a while. But I have a proof about myself that is greater than anything John said. The things I do are my proof. These are what my Father gave me to do. They show that the Father sent me. Verse 37. And the Father who sent me has given proof about me himself, but you have never heard his voice. You have never seen what he looks like. Verse 38. The Father's teaching does not live in you because you don't believe in the one the Father sent. Now, here's the verse that everybody knows or has heard about. Almost everybody. You carefully study the scriptures. You think that they give you eternal life. These same scriptures tell about me. But, verse 40, but you refuse to come to me to have that life. And I think when I read this, that if the speaker of these words, the Son of God, God himself, talking face to face with people, saying, you've seen, you've listened, you've heard, and it has told you all that is necessary to be saved, it's told about me. This is Jesus talking. It's told about me, but you refuse to come to me to have that life. Even though you've taken the Bible, what we call the Bible today, even though you've taken the Word of God, even though you study it, even though you spent years in it, even though you spent your life in it. You refuse, and you read about me. It tells you exactly what the things that I have done. It tells you in the past. And here I come, and I do what you read about, and you refuse to come to me that you might have that life. So if Jesus, as a man, Son of God, couldn't persuade people by talking to them, what about you and me? What chance do we, you and I, have? Well, you've heard this before too. We have no chance. None. Unless the Spirit of God pushes that button. If Jesus, talking face to face with people who spent their lives looking in the Bible, and he said, haven't you seen me in here? No, you haven't. You spent all your life, can you imagine? I remember when I was a kid, 14. I can remember I had a chum. Believe it or not, I had a chum. This is in the city of Windsor, the Windsor that's in Ontario. And I remember we were standing on the street, and that my chum, I can't remember anything else about him, just that one thing. I don't know who he was. I don't know. He's gone from my life. He said, see, my dad, and he pointed to, like that, to across the street. Windsor was a little city. And he pointed across the street. See my dad sitting on the veranda? He's reading his Bible. Crazy, huh? Yeah. How could a person possibly spend time to read the Bible? It's dull, it's boring, it's dead, it's written several thousand years ago. Your dad does that? I was 14. And I was the same. My reaction is the same. And that's what these people who spent their time in reading, studying, years, lives, studying the Bible, Jesus says, you read about me, but you don't believe it. If you were to believe it, you would come to me. You would see that I am the fulfillment of what you're reading about. And I would give you life. Now, we've all tasted of that life. We've all enjoyed it to a certain degree. It's like most of you have been to our place. I bet you don't enjoy it like my wife and I do. You enjoy it. You enjoy seeing all those deer running around and all those moose eating up the roses. And you enjoy what you see, the trees. Yeah, they're trees. But I'll bet you, like yesterday, we're driving, this isn't my place, but we were driving back from that wedding. And I once in a while I take my eyes off the road and I get distracted, you know, in spite of the sign that says, talks about you getting arrested for distracted driving. But my wife distracts me sometimes. If you had a wife like my wife, you'd be distracted, wouldn't you? You know what I'm talking about? Well, I got distracted. I looked on the, not the clothesline, the power line, on the power line, the side of the road. And I saw a sight that's the first time in my life that I saw. That must have been spectacular, huh? I saw 20, 19, 18, 21, round figure 20. I saw 20 birds. Now, I've seen 20 birds on power lines before, but, and you have, but you've never seen on the power line or any other line the birds that I saw. I couldn't believe it. So I said, you know, I said to my wife, I think I saw. So I'm going 100 kilometers an hour. What do? I look for the first driveway. I slow down. I stop. I turn around, and I drive back to see if those birds are still on the line. And they were. Well, not all of them, but quite a few were. And we stopped the car. And we're going slowly and then pull off and stop the car and the truck or some vehicle and he always zoomed past us. He wasn't at all interested. You know what I saw? No, you don't. You want to hear what I saw? I saw 20 mourning doves. You know what a mourning, M-O-U-R-N. They're called mourning doves because of the mourning sound they make. Do you want me to hear make a mourning sound? not sure that I can make a mourning. You know, ooh, ooh, ooh. That's just the way they sing, that singing. Just like my singing wouldn't be quite the same as your singing. You would call what you sing, what you're coming out of your mouth singing, and I don't want to hear what you would call what comes out of my mouth, or Al's mouth either, for that matter. mourning doves. You know what a mourning dove is? One person knows what a mourning dove is. More than one? Oh, two, three. You see lots of them in Ontario. Guess where I come from. You see lots of them in Ontario. And you probably see them in BC. And I see one or two in our 80 acres. But 20? I was thunderstruck. Can I be right? A mourning dove. Well, we used to have passenger pigeons. And passenger pigeons were doves. Pigeon and dove are pretty similar. Passenger pigeons, there were millions of them, and they're gone. Mourning dove looks like a small passenger pigeon. They're smaller than a pigeon. Trim, sleek, and their wings whistle, if I remember rightly, when they fly. And when they're sitting at their nest, craziest nest you ever saw in your life. But anyhow, I was delighted. I think you get that, don't you? I was delighted to see these mourning doves. Now, why in the world did I tell you about mourning doves? I'm sorry. I'm trying to talk seriously. Doesn't sound like much like it, does it? But I took what I saw seriously, and I enjoyed every moment of it. How many times have you stopped? How many times have you stopped going 100 kilometers an hour and turned around and drove back to see a mourning dove? Takes a nut to do that, doesn't it? My wife didn't even protest. But to me, I take that seriously. I delightedly, but seriously. And this is what I'm talking about. And my 20 minutes is up. I think 22 minutes are up. Maybe 30 minutes. I don't remember when I started. But it's up. Time is up. I'm quitting. But that's what we read this morning in the Word of God. How that we should consider the things of God. Seriously. What? So serious that it becomes a part of us. a part of us. We talk about God as we talk about the rain, all that rain that hasn't fallen here. We talk about it's a part of us. And the only way it can become a part of us is what Jesus said. None of you, you refuse. Not only, it's as if a person had a choice, you know. You refuse to come to me so that you could be saved. Why am I saying all of this to you? I said it yesterday because there were lots of people there who've never ever considered God. Well, maybe they have, but they don't talk about him at all. I doubt it. Because there are people like what you and I used to be. I told you when I was 14, I looked, I joined my buddy, and he looked at his dad reading the Bible one evening on the porch in public. And we thought he was crazy. Now that the Spirit of God is in us, things have turned 180 degrees. Well, maybe not quite 180, but that's the point, isn't it? Don't you think that we could possibly be more serious in our daily walk, in our daily activities, more serious about the God, like we were singing these hymns? They were over there, now they're here. We were singing those hymns this morning. We enjoyed the sound of whatever you call that machine and our singing. And we enjoyed the words, because there are messages in the words. We have a great God. It's a marvelous thing to have a nature now, nature, for the things of God to be as important as they are. And it's a marvelous thing when we're young, 12, 14, whatever, even younger. And if we're foolish enough to wait until we're 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60, whatever, to listen to it and to say, take God seriously and say, which side am I on? Where do I stand before God? Is he a part of me? Should he not be a part of me? What do I have to do for that to happen? Well, the answer is found in this book. And this book tells me that if we seriously go to God and say to God, you haven't been much of big, not a very big part of my life, do something to make so that I will want you to be a big part of my life. I'm sorry that I've left you out. I don't think it's any too late for any of us to talk that way. Well, the time is up. I've gone at least 1 minute over time. Thank you. Now, What's